Welcome back, everyone. Ready for another deep dive? Today, we're getting into something kind of cool, something you see the results of every day, but probably never really think about.
Plastic injection molds.
Yeah, those things that make, like, well, pretty much every plastic thing around us. Think about it. Your phone case, your computer mouse, probably even parts of that fancy coffee maker you love.
All made using these molds.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty incredible process, actually.
And how long it takes to make one of these molds is what we're exploring today, right? We've got some excerpts from a technical document here called...
What is the lead time for a plastic injection mold? Catchy title, huh?
Well, we'll see about that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just thinking about it, I'm picturing, like, weeks to get one of these molds made, right?
Could be weeks, could be months.
Yeah.
It really depends on what you're making. A simple bottle cap versus, say, a complex car dashboard. Huge difference in lead time.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. The dashboard's obviously more complicated. But what about things that maybe we wouldn't think of right away? Things that can throw a wrench in the works for a manufacturer.
Well, the document gets into design complexity. Like, if you've got a mold with moving parts, undercuts, or a complex cooling system.
Oh, right. Cooling. Molten plastic. Gotta cool it down somehow.
Exactly. And that level of detail adds time. Lots of design iterations, testing, tweaking.
Mm-hmm.
The document mentions some complex molds take dozens of revisions.
Wow. So they basically have to go back to the drawing board sometimes, even after they think they've got the design nailed down.
Happens all the time. That's why those computer simulations are so important. Helps catch problems early.
Like a safety net for the designers.
You got it. And then there's the manufacturing side. The document actually compared a high-capacity facility to a race car and a low-capacity one to a bicycle.
Okay, I get it. Both will get you where you need to go, but one's going to be a lot faster.
Precisely. If you've got a facility with top-notch equipment, seasoned engineers, efficient workflows, things move much quicker.
Makes you realize how much goes into making these everyday things we kind of take for granted. But what about materials? Like, I know sometimes just getting the right ingredients for a recipe can hold things up. Does that happen with mold making too?
Oh, absolutely. Specialized materials, high-strength steels, corrosion-resistant alloys.
Stuff that can handle the heat and pressure.
Exactly. Sourcing those can cause serious delays. The document made a comparison to finding a rare ingredient for a dish.
Gotta have that one special spice.
Right. And if you can't get it, the whole process gets held up. So you've got the design, the manufacturer's capabilities, the materials. It's a lot to juggle.
Like a delicate balancing act to get everything in sync?
That's a great way to put it. And then there's the whole challenge of the design itself.
Oh, tell me more. What kinds of things trip designers up?
Well, think about the precision needed for some of these complex shapes. The document described it as trying to sculpt with molten metal.
Yikes. High-stakes sculpting, for sure. Yeah.
Then you've got to find that perfect material that meets all the product requirements, is actually available, and doesn't break the bank.
Sounds like a lot of boxes to tick.
It is. And we haven't even touched on things like cooling and ejection systems. They might sound basic, but they're crucial.
Basic but essential. Kind of like the foundation of a house. You don't see it, but it's got to be solid.
Exactly. The cooling system makes sure the molten plastic solidifies correctly, and the ejection system gets the part out of the mold without damaging it. Mess those up, and you've got defects and delays.
Yeah, one little thing goes wrong, and it's like a cascading effect.
It really is. And, you know, it's interesting. This document actually dives into some of the advanced tech that's being used these days to try to get around some of these challenges, like...
Give me an example.
Conformal cooling.
Conformal cooling. Now, that sounds fancy.
It is. Remember how we were talking about cooling systems? Well, the old school way is basically just drilling straight lines into the mold for the coolant to flow through.
Okay, makes sense.
But with conformal cooling, they can use 3D printing to create these super intricate channels that, like, follow the exact shape of the part.
Whoa, so it's like weaving a custom cooling system right into the mold.
Yeah, and that means much more even cooling, less chance of defects, faster cycle times.
But I'm guessing that kind of technology probably costs a pretty penny up front, right?
There's definitely a higher initial investment.
Yeah.
And you need the expertise to design and implement it. But
you're potentially saving time and money in the long run because you're getting fewer defects and you can produce parts faster.
Exactly. It's all about weighing those trade-offs. And this actually leads to another really interesting point. The document brought up material mastery.
Material mastery sounds kind of like a martial art.
Well, it's all about having those really strong relationships with your suppliers and planning ahead to avoid those material delays we talked about earlier.
Right, right.
The document gave this example of a manufacturer who actually partnered with a steel mill to develop a custom alloy specifically for their needs.
So they went straight to the source and said, hey, we need something unique. Can you cook it up for us?
Pretty much. And it took some time and effort up front, obviously.
Yeah.
But it ended up saving them a ton of headaches later on because they had a guaranteed supply of exactly the material they needed.
Wow, talk about thinking ahead. That's like having your own secret weapon stashed away.
It is. And the document actually went on to say that this kind of proactive approach is becoming even more important these days with all the supply chain disruptions happening globally.
Oh, for sure. It seems like every other day there's a new headline about some kind of shortage or delay. It makes you wonder how all of this is going to impact the future of mold making.
That's the big question, isn't it? And I think this deep dive has given us some good insights into that. If you know the factors that influence lead time, you can have those more realistic conversations with manufacturers and potentially even make some choices that can speed things up.
So it's all about being informed and adaptable. Like if I know material availability is a big factor, maybe I should think about using a simpler design or materials that are easier to get hold of.
Right. Or maybe you prioritize working with a manufacturer who has those strong supplier relationships, those material masters we talked about.
It's about understanding the trade-offs and making smart decisions based on your specific situation. The world of manufacturing is always evolving new technologies, new materials, global events. They can all change the game. Okay, so knowing all of this, all these intricate details about mold creation, how does this help someone like me who just needs a mold made? What are the key takeaways I can actually use?
I think the biggest takeaway is to go into the process understanding what can affect that lead time. You know, so if you need a mold made, don't just focus on the design itself. Think about the materials, the manufacturer's capabilities, those potential delays.
It's like going on a road trip. You wouldn't just hop in the car without checking the traffic, planning your route, and making sure you've got enough gas, right?
Perfect analogy. Planning and communication are key. The more information you have up front, the smoother things will go.
And knowing all of this empowers me to have those productive conversations with manufacturers, negotiate better timelines, and ultimately get the best results possible.
You got it. It's all about being an informed consumer and a smart decision maker.
Wow, this has been quite a journey. Started out talking about how long it takes to make a mold and ended up uncovering this whole world of design and manufacturing and even global supply chains.
It is fascinating how connected everything is. Pull on one thread.
You end up down this rabbit hole of information.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it speaks to the importance of, like, staying curious, you know? We see these everyday objects around us, but we don't always think about
all the work that went into making them.
Right. Every object has a whole story behind it. Innovation, problem-solving, ingenuity.
I know I'm never going to look at my phone case the same way again. I'll be thinking about all the design tweaks, the precision engineering, sourcing the right materials. It's kind of mind-blowing.
And hopefully, people will walk away with a little more appreciation for the folks who make it all happen. The engineers, the designers, the manufacturers.
The unsung heroes of the stuff we use every day.
They really are. They take an idea and turn it into something real, something you can hold in your hand.
And they're always pushing the limits, exploring new technologies, making things better, faster, more sustainable.
Sure.
Well, on that note, I want to thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of plastic injection mold creation. Hopefully you learned something new, maybe sparked some curiosity of your own.
It's been a pleasure exploring this topic with you.
And remember, there's always more to discover out there. Until next time, happy deep diving, everyone.